Praise the name of Jesus. Amen. Ladies, I heard the angels sing tonight. It's a song that I've heard many, many times. And there's such a sweet anointing there. It just really, I walked in here with a lot of burdens and they suddenly dissipated. So thank you. Praise you, Jesus. Amen. Could you unplug that monitor right there, please? That just the front of it. Just pull that cord out. Thank you. Did everybody have a good turkey time and Thanksgiving and everything? All right. But it's good to be back here, isn't it?
Yes.
I still think we should have had a meeting Thursday night. He's looking at me. I'm the one that said, we can't have the meeting. Anyway.
You get one more turkey tonight.
Yeah, really. If you have your Bibles, if you open up the book of Numbers, Numbers chapter 13, and I will confess to you, I have no idea where I'm going with this tonight, but I'm plowing through. Let's pray. Father, thank you, Lord God, for your mercy and your grace and your loving kindness. Thank you, Lord God, that every morning we rise and you're with us. You never forsake us and you never forget us. I thank you, Father, for your plan tonight. I also thank you for the plan for every individual in this place, Lord, and your plan for them. And I thank you, Father, for them. They've begun the race and they will complete it, God, because your grace is with them, Father. Thank you, Father, for your precious Holy Spirit that leads us and guides us right now in all things. In Jesus' name, amen. I'm just going to give you a little brief word here tonight. Todd's going to follow up. Just to give you a background here, I don't know how many of you read the Old Testament. Have you read the Old Testament? Amen. The story when God led the Israelites out of Egypt. We all know about Moses who was raised up and how God performed miracles, smote the Egyptians to let God's people go. And it happened. And so Moses led them out into the wilderness and heading toward the land that God promised him by the covenant with Abraham. And as they approached that land, the Lord told Moses to send out spies into the land they were going into, and which they did. A lot of you know the story. They selected a spy from each tribe, and they sent the 12 out. And they were gone for 40 days, and they even gathered some fruit because the land was flowing with milk and honey and with an abundance of fruit. But they saw some other things, and so we're going to pick this up in verse 26. And they returned from spying the land after 40 days. Now they departed and came back to Moses and Aaron, all the congregation of the children of Israel in the wilderness of Paran and Kadesh. They brought back word to them and to all the congregation and showed them the fruit of the land. Then they told him and said, we went out to the land that you sent us, and truly it flows with milk and honey. And this is the fruit. Nevertheless, the people who dwell in the land are strong. Their cities are fortified and very large. Moreover, we saw the descendants of Anak. Descendants of Anak were the Nephilim, were the giants, which one of them was Goliath. And there are many others in the Bible, but they saw some of the Nephilim in the land as well. We saw the Amalekites dwell in the land of the south, the Hittites and the Jebusites and the Amorites dwell in the mountains. And the Canaanites dwell by the sea along the banks of the Jordan. Then Caleb quieted the people before Moses. He said, let us go up at once and possess the land, for we are well able to overcome it. But the men who had gone up said, we are not able to go up against these people. They are stronger than we are. And they gave the children of Israel a bad report of the land which they had spied out, saying, The land which we have gone out as spies is a land that devours its inhabitants. And all the people who saw it or in them were great and men in their stature. There we saw the giants, the descendants of Anak, and we are like grasshoppers in their sight. The Bible goes further to say that as a result of this report, the courage of the people was drained from them. I just thought, that is a powerful statement. What they were saying, the report they gave, drained the courage. How many of you like to be drained of your courage? And when you don't have courage, what's the opposite of that? Fear, exactly. And fear shook these people. And of course, they even so much went so far as to say, you know what, let's get a new leader. Let's to lead us back into Egypt. And I could go on and on and tell you the results of that. And therefore, God made a decree that those who said these things, yeah, you're going to go back in the wilderness, all right, and you're going to die out after 40 years. They were not allowed to go into the promised land. Now, they died and went to Abraham's bosom and went up with Jesus when he was resurrected, but they were not allowed to enter into the promised land. Also, Moses was not allowed, but that's another story. And you know, in this day and time, we need courage. We need to hear the report of the Lord, and we need to believe that we have everything, we possess everything we need to accomplish what God has called us to. Amen?
Amen.
I don't know about you, but I have my moments. And I am so grateful that I have people around me that encourage me. And sometimes the Bible talks about where King David came a time where there wasn't nobody around. He just had to encourage himself in the Lord. I mean, you know what I'm talking about. Sometimes you get in front of a mirror and give yourself a good talking to. Amen. Which I have done, by the way. And, you know, I thank God because about a day before Thanksgiving, some relatives were coming to my house. And I had to deal with one particular relative that, you know, was a party pooper, would come into the house and wanted to sing them that song, by the way. And, they can't even stand to hear Christian music. I mean, they were over one time and my son went in and turned it down and said, this person, they can't handle this, you know. I said, oh my goodness. And so I felt a little discouraged and was kind of dreading, in a lot of ways, this person's presence in my home. I've got another relative that comes, and every time he leaves, I have to cleanse the atmosphere. But that's another story. And so I want you to know, saints, I prayed and I sought the Lord. And every now and then, I experience something, and I wish I knew the formula to do it. All I know is that if I seek the Lord, it usually happens. Is that I was kind of carried away above my circumstances, above my fears, and above my apprehensions and everything else. And it's like I came above the clouds. And if I could describe it to you, the Bible talks about the first heaven, which is earth, the second heaven, which is the atmosphere, and there's the third heaven, which is kingdom of God. And it was like I was lifted up into the third heaven. And I was praying, and I started seeing this person the way that God sees him. It's like somebody pulled back a curtain and I could see this person. I could see deep down into their soul by the Holy Spirit. And I saw the root cause of their issues. In seeing that, I felt tremendous authority and power in God. And I spoke to it and I rebuked it. And there were some other things that God showed me that I prayed. And so this person came to my house, and what a difference. The atmosphere was light. They were easy to be around. They were interacting. They were smiling and having a good time, wanting to play games and everything else. I said, thank you, Holy Spirit. Because I really don't like being around people that drain me. You know what I'm talking about? And you know, another thing too, is that any of us can get a bad report. This world is full of bad reports. And you could get a bad report that you got some kind of health issue. You got a bad report that you got maybe cancer or something like that. Todd mentioned about the lady that was here who was diagnosed with cancer. And I remember we prayed for her. We sat her up here and we prayed for her. And together, we rebuked that thing. We said, you shall live and you shall not die. We gave her the report of the Lord. I don't care what your doctor said. You know, my gosh, tell you. I've been to hospitals to pray for people and everything. I want you to know there's no faith in hospitals. No. You mean you literally have to walk down the hallways praying in the spirit because there really isn't a whole lot of faith. And I remember years ago, about 20 years ago, when I moved to Chapin, you know, I had some... I went to the hospital for some examination or something. They said, well, we're going to give you a stress test to make sure your heart's okay. I said, okay, if you feel like it's necessary. So I got on the stress test, and, you know, and I was doing real well. I mean, I was getting it on, man. And then they kept raising it, and I was still talking and going on. And I felt great. And then they came back in the room with a little solemn look on their face and says, listen, the scan shows that you've got a blockage in your heart. It's a very serious artery, and we need to send you to another hospital to have a catheterization, heart catheterization. And I thought, oh, God. And there was nothing building my faith in any of these people who were talking this to me. Now, my wife, bless her heart, if anybody ever, if you ever really know her, I want you to know she's a pistol. And she told me, she said, listen, we need to pack our bags and get out of this house because there's nothing wrong with you. I said, well, but the test said such and such and such. There's nothing wrong with you. And I said, then I said, well, gee, what do I do here? So then my mother got word of it. Real praying woman, let me tell you. And she called my room and she said, let me tell you something. So, oh, Jesus, you get your bags packed and you get out of that room. There is nothing wrong with your heart. And I said, okay, Mom. I said, did you hear that, Linda? And Linda says, oh, your mother you believe, but you're not going to believe me. You know, I've always been quick on the draw. And I said, well, you know, the Bible says two more witnesses, you know. So anyway. So... like a coward, I didn't listen. Sorry, I went and had the catheterization. I had another brother of mine come down to console me. The doctor walked out and said, "Yeah, nothing wrong with his heart. He's fine." Amen. And my wife's never let me forget that anyway. And I'll tell you something. There's no faith in hospitals. There's more negative out there than you can stick out. And whether it's financial, whether it's your health, or whatever it is, it's out there. And you have got to believe the report of the Lord. Amen. I want you to know, I believe the whole word of God. Every word of it. So, there was a time that a doctor would tell me something. And by the way, I was getting ready to pack my bags, leave at a hospital, and this older doctor walked in my room, and he started telling us, you know, and everything else, and he didn't see any kind of panic or fear in our faces because, you know, at that point, I felt pretty good. And he looked at me and said, son, do you understand what I'm telling you? He says, this is the widowmaker. This thing will kill you, will take you out. I thought to myself, this doctor's trying to terrorize me. Mm-hmm. And bless their hearts, that's all doctors know. Is that they just see whatever their scans or whatever else to show them. They don't know nothing about faith. They don't know, but there are some out there, but they don't know nothing about what we know. And I've come to the point in my life where a doctor could tell me something and I don't react. I say, well, let me pray about this. I'm going to listen to the Holy Spirit. And when people come and with some kind of bad report, whether it's that or whatever, my goal is to give them the word of the Lord and give them encouragement. My goal is to tell them what this word says so that they can be encouraged and strengthened in their faith. Amen? Amen. You know that song, whose report will you believe? We believe the report of the Lord. And this has come to the place, and I'm quite honestly, whatever the little thing, I used to go to a doctor all the time, but I do my best to be led by the Spirit. Now people say, well, come on now, you gotta have some common sense about this and everything else. I do have common sense, I believe the Holy Spirit will tell me when I need to take care of something. Now, if you're in an accident or something or another, hey, that's a given. You got to go get taken care of. But generally speaking, I'm going to be led by the Lord. When this COVID thing broke out, everybody talking about how you need to get this vaccination. Well, I said, well, I'll tell you what. I'm going to pray and I'm going to do what the Holy Spirit tells me to do. Period.
I remember when the Y2K happened.
Oh, yeah.
And everybody was fearful. And Lewis Reese said, it's going to be nothing.
See, right? I do, did. Thank you for reminding me of that. I thought the whole world was going crazy. I said, listen, this Y2K is as phony as it comes. There's nothing going to happen. Everything, you know, John's shaking his head back there. He's probably a systems engineer, taking care of these big mainframes when he's back in the day. You knew it then too, didn't you? He knew it. See, there you go. But, thank you for reminding me of that. But when we come to these meetings, what we hear is the good report. The prophetic anointing and gifting is so important because it encourages people. It strengthens people. Amen? You know, there's something else that in that time of prayer that I talk about, I'll call it in the third heaven, I was asking the Lord or kind of interceding with about a word of knowledge and a word of wisdom. I want us to get to the place to where we have a word of knowledge of what's wrong with somebody, and then we have a word of wisdom what to do about it. And believe it or not, you, Brother Todd here, I see him stepping into that realm. I don't know if he's aware of it, but I see him stepping into that. And I said, Lord, and, you know, I mean, he told me a report recently about somebody who had a health issue. And Todd, I'll let you share that anyway, because it's just something recent that's happened. But a word of knowledge and a word of wisdom about what to do about it. Amen. And, I respect doctors. I had a wonderful doctor who was my family physician, and he was a Christian. He's a wonderful, wonderful person. And I thank God for him. Amen. Amen. So you have to believe the report of the Lord. And I would encourage you, no matter what comes your way, whether it's health, finance, whatever it is, family members, you get before the Lord. Let the great counselor Jesus tell you what to do by his Holy Spirit. You know, doctors are counselors, lawyers are counselors, whatever. But you're going to be far better off if you hear the voice of the Lord and you know what to do. And, you know, it may not come to you right away. And don't let anybody try to push you in anything. There is a time where you wait upon the Lord and wait for his voice and you seek him with all your heart. Amen. Amen. Before I sit down, I got a word here for Doug Jolly. This is a word that's been on my spirit for you, and God has told me to give it to you, to encourage you. And I saw a big ship. It was like the ship, you know, back in the 1800s, with huge sails, huge masts, and all the people working the ship. And God told me that in this big ship, there was a hidden part of the ship that's extremely important to the survival, and it's the rudder. The rudder is hidden in the sea. But if something happens to it, that ship's not going anywhere. It would be a very serious issue, and even for a modern ship. You're dead in the water without it. The Lord told me to tell you that you are like a rudder in the body of Christ. And that in the days ahead, God's going to lay some things on you. You've always been kind of a mover and a shaker. You've always worked in the background, in the back scenes, moving things and putting the chess pieces in play to be in order to win the game. But you're that rudder that God has put in the body of Christ. And you're not seen, maybe not even thought of at times, but you're there nonetheless, being led by the Spirit, being a mover and a shaker, and moving the ship of God in the direction it needs to go. Not only as a corporate, at the corporate body, but also individually, your family and friends and so forth and everything else. So don't worry about being seen. Don't worry about notoriety, because God has chosen to put you as a rudder in the ship in the body of Christ. Amen. 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 That's it. Praise the Lord. God bless you.
Man, that's a good word. Just letting that come on in. The Lord God has given us the tongue of disciples that we know how to sustain a weary one with the word. He wakens us morning by morning. He wakens our ear to listen as a disciple. The Lord God has opened our ears, and we were not disobedient, nor did we turn back. Father, we just thank you for what you've already established here in this room tonight. Lord, I ask you to continue and just manifest yourself whichever way you see fit in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Turn over to 2 Samuel chapter 5, starting at verse 6. Now the king and his men went to Jerusalem against the Jebusites, speaking of David, then the inhabitants of the land. And they said to David, "You shall not come in here, but the blind and the lame will turn away, thinking David cannot enter here." Nevertheless, David captured the stronghold of Zion, that is, the city of David. And David said on that day, "Whoever would strike down a Jebusite, let him reach the lame and the blind who are hated by David's soul." Excuse me. David said on that day, "Whoever would strike the Jebusites, let him reach the lame and blind who are hated by David's soul through the water tunnel. Therefore they say, the blind, the lame shall not come into the house." So David lived in the stronghold and called it the city of David. And David built all around from the millow inward. And David became greater and greater, for the Lord of God hosts was with him. In verse 12 it says, "And then David realized the Lord had established him as king over Israel, and that he had exalted his kingdom for the sake of his people Israel." That other words, there's a David had perceived that the Lord had established him as king over Israel. So reading an account there where David went ahead and took Jerusalem as one of his objectives. And one of the things about David that we know about, reason why he had a heart after God, is because he wanted the same things that God wanted. And so that's why God said he had a heart after me. They wanted the same things. God wanted Jerusalem to be taken, and he wanted the ark to be returned in its rightful place. And so David wakes up one day, and he'd been king for a little bit. It wasn't like he just became king, but he makes this statement. David perceived that God had made him king. He perceived it. Now, what I want to share tonight, I want to talk about perception, because that just kind of came up in my spirit today. And so that's why I gave Lewis the assignment of Numbers, because there were perceptions that were involved there. You had perception that Caleb had. And then you had the perception of the other spies that gave the bad report. They're two totally different perceptions. Why was Caleb's perception so totally different from these other spies? What was the difference between the two? And you have really a comparison there. To me, a lot in Christianity today, we have different levels of perception. There are people that perceive different things. People perceive, like, for example, where Jesus said the gates of hell will not prevail against the church, there are some people who think about that hell is beating against the church and the gates will never fall in. And that's not what the perception is. That's not what Jesus was trying to explain, that the church is to be on the offense. But people have perceptions about different things. And there's so much in the Old Testament about perception, and I want to share that tonight. I want you to leave here tonight really doing a life assessment, like David did. I perceive, he realized, that word, that Hebrew word there, it said, he realized that God had established him as king. He made an assessment of his life. He was able to look back by the Spirit of God that was within him, which analyzed his heart and gave him a picture, and he could see how God's hand was upon him, how he established him, how he took him through all these different problems. Ever since he, with his youth, how he took out the lion and the bear and his relationship with his family, the whole entire thing, and where Samuel comes and anoints him, and he sees how God had made him king, where he took out Goliath and so forth. He's making an assessment of that. You need to do that. You need to take an assessment of your life. You need to see how God's hand has been working on you since you were sent into this planet. The reason why you need to see that is because that perception, that understanding that God's hand is mighty upon you is necessary for you to be able to accomplish not just what you're going to do here, but what you're going to do when you're there. Everything you do in this life will pertain to something in the eternal. It's just the way that it is. It echoes. And so I just want to encourage you tonight to just kind of get your spiritual ears on, just to kind of hear all these different definitions of perception. And the Hebrew uses several words to convey the idea of perception, which go beyond the mere physical sight to encompass deep understanding, spiritual discernment, and intimate knowledge. There are different words here for perception in the Old Testament. One of them is yada. This is a primary word that's translated as to know, to perceive, to understand. It implies a deep, intimate, and experiential knowledge, not just intellectual awareness. For example, in 1 Samuel 3, chapter 3, verse 8, it says, Eli perceived that the Lord was calling Samuel, indicating an acknowledgement that God's direct involvement. And what I mean by that is that word yada. So in other words, when Samuel came to Eli and said he was hearing him call him, and Eli and Samuel thought it was Eli that was calling, but it was God the whole entire time. And so he kept getting up in the middle of the night and said, Eli, you called me. He goes, no, go back to sleep. You know, and I'm sure that he might even got irritated with him. But finally, Eli perceives. He perceives. The reason why he perceived, it wasn't based on a revelation, it was based on his experience, on how God calls and how God had communicated with Eli. And so that perception, that word yada, is very important. It's something you've experienced. And everyone in here has experienced the voice of the Lord to some degree or another. You've had those experiences. And that is a perception that's already being formed within you for a reason. And and that perception grows. It's not something that stays here. It gets bigger and bigger as you walk with the Lord and you see more and you understand more. But it's all encompassing. It's not just one slice of just experience. There's other things pertaining to perception here. Another word for perception in Hebrew is bina. Or ben, the word refers to understanding, discerning, or considering. It suggests an ability to distinguish between things, such as good and evil, and to grasp insight as a key aspect of wisdom. That's also listed like in the Proverbs. So it's the ability to be able to distinguish between things. That's a perception. That is being developed within you. You already walk in it to a degree. But you must understand that the things that you're facing right now are requiring perception. I would submit to you, the body of Christ is here tonight, I would submit to you from my heart that is one of the things the Holy Spirit is dealing with each one of us is how we are perceiving what is confronting us. How are we seeing it? Are we seeing it as Caleb? Or are we seeing it as other spies saw it? It was a fact that there were giants in the land. It was a fact that the land devoured. It said that the land devoured people or whatever. I mean, this were facts. It was a fact that it had milk and honey and all the above. These were all facts. And yet Caleb says, we would have no problem
We can go right on in there. Why is it that he had that experience? What was going on in Caleb? Who was Caleb hanging out with? What was Caleb reading? What was Caleb thinking? What was going on in that guy that brought him to those conclusions, and the other people 180 degrees the other way? What were they thinking? How were they spending their time? How were they dealing with life? And these are the things that affect you and me and can affect us in the area of perception. But when we walk in the Spirit and when we're seeking after God, He wants to give us all these abilities that have been imparted to us when we receive the mind of Christ, when we were born again. We had things imparted into us that need to be activated and need to be let out so that we can walk in them and experience a move of the Holy Spirit in our life that literally touches every vessel we come in contact with. To walk in such a sensitivity, to walk with such a perception that literally every moment in conversation that you and I engage in, whether it's at home or wherever it might be, that is a moment and an opportunity to let the Spirit of the living God come through us. Can you picture a life like that? Can you picture a life as a servant? And that's a servant's heart. Someone that's completely on the job. You know, when I waited restaurant, I was in a restaurant, I was a waiter for a while. I came in and I had to look like a servant. I had to look like a waiter, I mean. You know, I put the little thing on, it was a French restaurant, a little white thing, little bow tie, and, you know, I looked the part. Amen? Ready to serve. Another word is ra. Excuse me, I'm going to look up Proverbs here to give an example of ben or benah. In Proverbs chapter 2, verse 3, I'll get there real quick. It says, "For if you cry for discernment and lift your voice for understanding, if you seek her as silver and search for her as for hidden treasure, then you will discern the fear of the Lord and discover the knowledge of God. For if you cry for..." That's prayer, crying out to God. You've been crying out. You've been crying. I know you've been. I know some of you have been crying. I see it. I can see it on you. You're crying out. That's good. That's a good thing. You're crying out. And you're crying to the one that has the answers. And you're not crying as you're not coming before the Lord. You've humbled yourself before. I don't have the answer. I don't know what is it that you want to do with me? Why do I feel like I'm in a holding pattern? When, how come, and why? And you're crying out to God. But when you cry out for perception and you cry out for discernment, you're crying out for the right things because God already has that going on inside you and He can activate it. He can release it within you. That is the anointing that is permanent within you, that manifests within you and gives you those abilities in the Spirit. Amen? Another word here is raha, I'm saying that right. This is a general verb meaning to see, but it can also be used in the sense of mental or spiritual perception, observation, and consideration. In other words, it's like spiritual perception. It's like when Isaiah, an example of that is Isaiah 6:5, "For my eyes have seen..." Seeing the Lord of hosts. He sees something in the Spirit. He discerns what it is. My eyes have seen the Lord of the hosts. You are seeing things and perceiving things in the Spirit all the time when you're engaged and diligently seeking Him. You will see things. A lot of times when you see and when you read things, they call these prophets in the Old Testament seers. They see things. Well, you have Jesus inside of you, and He sees things. Remember what Jesus said, I only do things I see the Father doing. Well, He was saying that. He was demonstrating for you and me that we can also see what it is that the Father is doing. To be able to see these things so we know how to step and we know how to move in the things of God. Another word here is chaza, and I know I really probably butchered that, but this word often describes more intense perception, seeing, or prophetic vision.
It implies a truly gasping, grasping, or contemplating something, often used when referring to a vision from God. So it's a vision. The chaz is like it's like an open vision. There's so many different examples of that. I pulled one out of here in Amos, if I can find it. Actually, you know what? I'm going to go back to Numbers. Numbers 24, verse 4, it says, "The oracle of him who hears the words of God, who sees the visions of the Almighty, falling down, yet having his eyes uncovered." Numbers 24, verse 4, this is talking and speaking about Balaam, the oracle of Balaam, the son of Beor, and the oracle of a man whose eye is opened. The oracle of him who hears the words of God, who sees the visions of the Almighty, falling down, yet having his eyes uncovered. So that particular perception is actually seen in vision form. Some of you have maybe experienced visions. People sometimes have open visions where you're like, we're awake right now, and all of a sudden you go into a vision. Some of you have had dreams. Sometimes you have visions within dreams. But visions is perception. It's information. It's to perceive what it is that you're up against. Because see, you're in a mission. You are on an offense. You are a threat to the kingdom of darkness. And what you're doing, you've invaded in his territory, whether you know it or not. Just walking around with Jesus is enough, okay? But you are actually doing something in the kingdom of God. And so you're making an impact. So obviously, it's a key that God would give you that type of perception, to be able to have vision to see into the realm of the Spirit. Why not? Why not? And see, by understanding that, you're aware of it, you're open to it, it can happen. Everything must be judged, but don't misunderstand me. It doesn't matter who you are. You don't have to have any kind of special calling to have a vision. You just look at the people that the Lord chose. I mean, look at the people that have been picked in the Bible for doing special things for God. I mean, come on. And we know their character flaws, and that's what makes even the Bible even more true. Who would write about themselves like they did, like that? Nobody would. Amen? There's another word here, shama. Why primarily it means to hear. Actually, I skipped over one. I can't even say this word. It's P-A-Q-A-C-H, pakash. This verse specifically means to open the eyes or ears, often used in contexts where God enables someone to perceive something previously unseen, highlighting divine intervention in granting perception. Remember Elisha, when they were surrounded, and he said, "Open my servant's eyes so that they might be able to see." And they were surrounded by that army. I think it was a Syrian army that was surrounding them. And the Elijah's servant says, "Oh, man, there's an army around us." And he says, "Father, ask the Lord, just open up his eyes that he might see." And his eyes are, and he all of a sudden he perceives that there's more with them than there are with them. There are more with them than there are out there. And so he sees that. He perceives it. It's an opening up of the eyes and the spirit. Amen? That is pakash. Next word is shama. Well, primarily to hear, shama also encompasses attentive consideration and responsive obedience, which is a form of perception through the ear. Perceived by ear. In Deuteronomy 4, 32 and 33, it says, "Indeed, ask now concerning the former days which you were before you, since the day that God created man on earth, inquire from one end of the heavens to the other, has anything been done like this great thing, or has anything been heard like this? Has any of my people heard the voice of God speaking from the midst of the fire as you have heard it?
and survived. So in other words, another area of perception is hearing. That you can perceive things through what you hear. And in this particular event, now some people say, I have heard God speak audibly before. Has anybody heard the audible voice of God in here before? Curious. So we have fuse, yes. So there was a perception that came that. How did you know it was God's voice? Because when you heard it, you perceived who it was, hopefully, right away. You see what I'm saying? People say that when these people that have gone on or passed on and come back or whatever, they say they immediately know who he is when he speaks, when he talks, when he looks at them. It's an instant perception. My sheep know what? My voice. So that's another area of perception, hearing. Hearing.
This last Hebrew word here is ayin, literal word for eye, which is used by extension to mean insight, perception, motives, and attitude. A good eye implies a clear perception aligned with God's truth. A good eye implies a clear perception aligned with God's truth. And, you know, the thing is, a good eye, it talks about in the book of Proverbs that a good eye actually speaks of somebody that is a real giver. A person having a good eye and a perception of a good eye in this one area. In fact, I'm going to back this up with a scripture in Proverbs 22, I think. Yeah, Proverbs 22:9 says, He who has a good eye will be blessed, for he gives some of his food to the poor. So having a good eye is able to discern some things, but it's a perception of when you get around people who are in need. You know that they have a need. You ever get around people like that? I was down in I went down there to watch the Clemson track meet. And you guys are Clemson fans in here, really happy, I bet. But not that I'm a Clemson or a Carolina fan, it's neither here nor there. But when I was down there, I had my son with me. And so we were, you know, walking around and going to different people that needed a word. I mean, God was just telling me, go, this person, go. I mean, I could have done it all day long, all day long. How's that possible? It's perception. It's being aware. It's walking around and using the eye, my eyes that I see, and I see an individual, and I can't really define this or explain it to you. It's just that I just know that I have something for them, and so I go up and I bring it to them. And it is amazing to me every time. It's right on the money. Now, how did that happen? It happened through perceiving through my eyes that God gave me of something that's going on with somebody or they need something. That's having a good eye. You have that. And some of you already operate in it. So trust it. Trust it. Don't second guess yourself. If you're in the marketplace, right, and you can see somebody and you look at them, and then that little thought come up, like, because I just said this today, and you're hearing me saying, that's that person right there, that because you looked at them twice. It's them. Yes, it's them. Go talk to them. Go bless them. Yeah. Develop that. You see, that's a whole area of perception and how Jesus did things. He even saw, what was it, Nicodemus was under the tree or whatever? Zacchaeus. He said, I saw you under the tree. Amen. Now, there's a Greek word for perception. That's asthesis. I practice these words at home, and I get here, and I'm just, you know, it's a little bit not the same. I would get the little phonic thing, I'll sit there and say it, and then I'd say repeat it,
And then I get in front of people and I said, just, anyway.
Asthesis. It means perception or discernment. Term denotes an inner capacity to perceive, recognize, and judge rightly. It moves beyond mere data gathering to a spirit-shaped sensitivity that distinguishes between what pleases God and what does not. In secular Greek, it could be described as refined taste or keen perception. In Scripture, it's elevated to a moral and spiritual discernment rooted in regenerated affections. In Philippians 1, chapter, verse 9, it says, "In this I pray that your love may abound still more and more in real knowledge and in all discernment." It's the Apostle Paul praying, says, "In this I pray that your love may abound still more and more in real knowledge and all discernment." Not some discernment, all discernment. And so just, I don't know if you've ever thought about it like I'm giving it to you tonight. Perception is a multifaceted thing. It's not just one area. It's not just your spiritual ears and spiritual eyes. It is the whole enchilada, as we say. And you are developing it, the Lord is developing it in you, but you must be aware of it. You have to have a perception to understand that there's perception being developed in you. So it's perception upon perception or discernment. And people like to say, well, there is no gift of discernment, but truly there is. When you read Scripture, it is. We are gifted, we're imparted with this. But it must be exercised. That's what I'm trying to say. And part of the exercising perception is being aware that you've got it and that it's functioning. And that you have a choice to rather move in it or not move in it. And when you're aware of it and you walk around and says, I've got godly perception, you start to use it. You start to scan people. You know Jesus scanned people. I mean, the woman at the well, he came up and just scanned her in a minute or whatever. See, she said that he told her everything about her life. That's not even written in the Scripture. We don't even know all the other stuff that he talked to her about. And what was the end of the result of that is, see, that's the whole point, is that you're carrying something that is a divine seed that is for someone else, and it's by perceiving where that seed should go, where you're casting these pearls at and where you don't cast them at. Because there are situations where, man, it's like my mouth just goes closed. I don't feel led to lead, to say anything to certain people.
I pray that your love may more abound, still more and more in real knowledge and all discernment. In Hebrews chapter 5, verse 14. I'm almost to the end. Hebrews chapter 5, verse 14. Actually, let's go up to verse 11. Concerning him, we have much to say, as is hard to explain since you have become dull of hearing. For though by this time you ought to be teachers, you need again for someone to teach you the elementary principles of the oracles of God, and you have come to need milk and not solid food. For everyone who partakes only milk is not accustomed to the word of righteousness, for he is an infant. But solid food is for the mature, who because of practice have their senses trained to discern good and evil. But solid food is for the mature, who because of what? Practice. Because of practice. Have their senses trained to discern good and evil. So the solid food that you get, or that you were getting, and a lot of you are doing, like I said, you're already doing the word, you're already going out, you're already ministering, you're reaching out beyond the walls. And now solid food is being distributed by the Holy Spirit. And I don't even know sometimes what the heck's coming out of my mouth, you know, what, how it's hitting and where it's going exactly. But if you are here and you are actually out there doing the work of God, God is going to feed you here. He's going to give you by His Holy Spirit. He's going to do it. If He uses Lewis, me, or whoever, it doesn't really matter. What matters is where does it come from? And you have to have the right perception to spiritually discern the meal that is being presented to you and how it should be applied in your life. Because right now, the thing is that I'm really sensing right now, there's such a polarization going on in the world, but even within the church, it seems like those that are really serious about God are like doing a deep dive, like the Holy Spirit's doing a deep dive into their life, and He's just rearranging some things and sifting some things and cleaning some things up, and he's causing them to cry out. And if that's what you're going through right now, you're in the right place. Because that desire you have inside of you, that nothing else will quench it except fulfillment of what you're supposed to do. Nothing else can like quench that thirst. It's like an itch that you can't quite scratch. You know, you gotta do it. And that's why you're hungry. It's not just to repair your life and repair things around you and get it is that. Because let's face it, you know, the truth is, as you were talking about, you know, you can have a bad report, but what's the truth? As Lewis was holding up his Bible, that was just so, ministered to me so much, is that it's truth. That's tightening up the belt of truth. That's what we were talking about last week, or a couple weeks ago. You've got to tighten that belt up. You have to tighten it up. You've got to do it. No one's going to do it for me. I've got to do it myself. I've got to believe. I've got to trust. And so that's why you're in an area right now where it hasn't happened yet. Because you've got to trust. That's how you got to where you were in the first place, right? You didn't get where you're at today by not trusting. Well, now there's something else to trust. There's always another thing. And that's good. There is a scripture in Ecclesiastes. There is no discharge from this warfare. It just doesn't stop. That's why Paul talked, I fought the good fight. He fought it all the way. So to think that there's not going to be a fight, it's always going to be a fight. It's okay. But if you got the weapons of the warfare of God that aren't carnal but are mighty, you're going to be swinging until you swing on in. Amen? Amen. So this describes mature believers. Romans 12:2 says, and do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, so that you may prove what is the will of God is, that which is good, acceptable, and perfect. So you take Hebrews 5:14, which describes mature believers whose senses are trained by the practice to distinguish between good and evil. You take Romans 12:2, which commands transformation so that you may be able to test and approve what is good, pleasing, and perfect will of God. These passages indicate that discernment is both a divine gift and a skill honed through obedience and scriptural meditation. It protects against deception, it guards purity, and it steers your mission. It's vital. Now, in the book of Acts, I want to just kind of pick up on that one last thing about how it steers the mission. That's Acts chapter 16:6. Actually, I start in verse 5. So the churches were being strengthened in faith and were increasing in number daily. They passed through the Pergian and the Galatian region, having been forbidden by the Holy Spirit to speak the word in Asia. And after they came to Mysia, they were trying to go into Bithynia, and the Spirit of Jesus did not permit them. And passing by Mysia, if that's how you say it, they came down to Troas,
A vision appeared to Paul in the night, and a man of Macedonia was standing and appealing to him and saying, come over to Macedonia and help us. You see how the Spirit of God is guiding them? These are here for us to not just read and understand, because some of you, maybe, you know, you're called to a mission, you're called to go this, or maybe you're just called to the other end of town or whatever. But perception's important, because that perception, when it's exercised, will guard you and keep your mission in the right place and not going in some places that you shouldn't go. I don't know if you've ever been somewhere where you shouldn't be before. But if you ever have been somewhere you shouldn't be before, then if you ever gone somewhere where you felt like the Holy Spirit saying, don't go there, and you go there anyway, and you find out you shouldn't have gone there. Amen. I was working at Epworth Children's Home, and the Lord told me to leave there, and it was time for me to go, and I waited 2 more weeks. I will never do that again. I will never do it again. God says go, you go. Yeah, because sometimes you're in situations and places where he's trying to do something there, and he can't do it till you're gone. Like kind of when Lot had to leave Sodom and Gomorrah, you know? So it's really important that we get this. Perception is such a wonderful thing, and I hope that I was able to bring some light to you today in this arena. And really getting back into the spies, you know? And they were spying out the land. And I think that this has got a lot to do with evangelism. I see a real parallel here. And I think that it's very important that we go back and take an assessment of our life tonight, to, as David did, and to really allow our perception that we have within us, that God has imparted us, to really analyze and give kind of a life assessment of how his hand has been on us, and where we are right now, and how, where we're going to go, how that is going to be perceived. I think it's very, very important that we take time to pray about that. Amen? Amen. God bless you. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. I'm going to give my sister a word of encouragement back there, black sweater. Amen. What's your name?
Yes.
Black sweater. Oh, yes.
Haley.
Haley. How you doing, Haley? God is so good. Amen. Amen. You know, you like to give surprises, you know, and gifts that surprise people, and just so something about your nature that, you know, you like to just go and do give surprises and you love people and just love to do just kind of like something good for somebody where they get a good smile, and you know, you're a good deed, you know, people like to do good deeds. You know what I mean? And I just see God really using you to do good deeds. But you got a surprise coming. You got a surprise. You're in transition, whether you know it or not. You are in big time transition. Okay, so I just wanted to tell you. Okay, God has got you in a vice grip. I call it a vice grip, a training harness. Amen. And you can't quite go where you want to go. You understand what I'm saying? But yet where he's taking you is all about training. Amen. You need to understand that the job is the mission is the job, the opportunities. They're always designed to incorporate what we need, and just understand that, okay? But it's not your final stop, and it's okay. So you can endure for a season until he moves you again, and you're just like, you know, you're like a pawn in the hand of the Lord. And that's a good place to be, because evidently, and he's had to do this lately because he had to kind of like wedge you to where you could, you know, you didn't have like a whole lot of places where you could really do anything, you know? So you kind of like, you know, it's a training harness. It's like, I don't want to go that way, but I can't go that way. And, you know, and sometimes when the training harness, we throw like fits, like a little kid, you know, a kid in a playpen, you know, I'm not saying you're throwing a fit, but, okay. So, but sometimes... Sometimes it's okay, because that's completely normal. But you get to a place where you submit to the process, and you understand the refinement that he's the potter, you know, you're the clay, and what is he making you into? A real vessel of honor. Because I want to tell you something, on down the line, and I don't know if the Lord tarries here or not, okay? But I would say I see you as an entrepreneur.
I see some type of a thing that God will give you to do that will make your ends meet more than you need. Amen? Because there's the surprise, the person that likes to get the gifts, that loves to surprise, it's like that. That person is going to come out, but the gifts that you're going to be given will be the gifts of the Holy Spirit. Amen? And you're going to give one after another after another. The words of knowledge move and flow through you whether you're aware of it or not. But you need to be aware of it because perceive that. That's something, that's an area that God wants you to start to, you know, percolate. Let it out. It's okay. You don't have to say, thus says Lord. Yeah, I just feel like the Holy Spirit saying, or, you know, or if it's somebody that you don't think believes, whatever. Just find a way. God will always, the Holy Spirit will always give you a preceding word, a way to enter into a conversation. Amen. And the last thing I want to give is I want to give you peace. Amen. The peace of God. Because I don't know, you never met you. You know, I mean. Yeah. What? Oh, you guys are married. Oh, okay. All right. What are the odds? Okay. Of you being here at this time or whatever, that word coming forth. You might have been here before, but like I said, I'm not real, I don't remember stuff, so amen. But I just wanted to give you that. Amen. God is so good. Amen. All right. Well, let's all stand to our feet. Amen. Father, we just thank you for what you've done in this place. It's been a blessing to be in your presence again. This whole area of perception, Father, is something that you're so deeply moving in the body of Christ right now. And Father, I ask that you'd open up our hearts in a greater measure to really, really understand what it is that you're doing. Father, it says that you're creating a church without spot, wrinkle, or blemish, Father, and that we'll be permitted to dress in this fine linen, which is righteous acts of all the saints. And Father, we desire these things. We really do, Father. This is a group here, Lord. This is a group tonight, God, of people who really love you and are really seeking after you. And we all know we're not perfect, Lord, but we're doing our best. But Lord, I just ask you to bring words of encouragement and strength, Lord, through your word as they meditate on it, as they dig into it. I thank you, God, that you're a light unto their path. Lord, that they'd be able to see clearly where to step from this point forward. I ask you this in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you. Tammy. Hey, Tammy. Tammy. Terry. I was calling you Tammy. That's why you weren't answering me.
No.
Because I was.
How are you?